Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
You're a dad, or you're soon to be a dad, because I saw somebody there that I know. So if you're soon to be a dad, it's about ready to celebrate, right? So cool. If you're a dad, let's give him a round of applause, right? Cool, cool. Awesome. All right, well, you guys can be seated, but hey, we're just honored to have all the dads in our lives and all the dads that are here, and it's a serious responsibility, and I'm just honored that I get to be a father, and it's incredible. I have two crazy kids, and I tell you what, I'm blessed every day by them. So happy Father's Day, but today we're going to jump back into this sermon series that we're doing called Be Real, and we're actually going to conclude this series today. And if you learned anything from it, hopefully you've been able to apply something to your life. But anything if you've learned, I think we've learned this, that when we're real with God, God's able to work through us. And again, if you missed any of the sermons, you can check those out on our website, www.mylifechangedchurch.com, the media page. There's podcasts there. Everything's through there as well. But we looked at all these areas where we can be real in. And today we're going to look at something which is a little bit more difficult area, but this area of forgiveness. And when I say that, you're thinking like, dude, it's Father's Day. Do you have some serious dad issues or what? No, I love my dad. He's here. He's awesome. But I think for many of us, maybe when we look at our idea, a concept of a father, maybe it is an area where we need to practice forgiveness. So when I'm talking about forgiveness, I'm not saying necessarily that we need to ask for forgiveness, but it's really something where we need to give forgiveness. We need to be real with ourselves. And we've been talking about being real the last 5-6 weeks, and really been looking at this scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 23. And again, hopefully you've written this down. Hopefully this is a verse that's in your heart. But it says this. It says, "Let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, because we have been made free from a guilty conscience and our bodies have been washed with pure water." When we come to God, we can be completely authentic and real with Him. We don't have to hide anything up. We don't have to cover anything up because we've been made free from a guilty conscience. And the reason we can be real and the benefit of it, the amazing news about this is that we can hold firmly to the hope that we've confessed. We can trust God to do what He's promised. And I believe God's got incredible promises for each and every one of us. God's got incredible promises for us individually, and I believe God's got incredible promises for us as a church plant. Again, we're a church plant that started in September. We're new into this, but I believe that God made a promise in the Bible for all churches, and He said He's going to build His church. So I believe that God is going to build Life Change Church. Again, we are placed in Newark, Heath, and Granville for a reason, right? To make an impact in this community. There's 91,000 people in this community. 62,000 people don't have a place where they would call their church home. And I think God is calling us to be real in everything we do so that we can make an impact with this community. We can make an impact to others. Because I think when we're real, I think people see that. People see an authenticness that they really want and they want to be a part of. They're more likely to share with you if you're real. So today we're going to talk about this area about how we can be real through forgiveness. And it's more of giving it away. We all need to act upon forgiveness. I think a lot of times we try to be rebellious in certain areas of our life. We try to think that, you know what, this doesn't apply to me. And I really think forgiveness is one of those areas where we look at, we think, you know what, I don't really struggle with that. I don't struggle with any resentment. I don't struggle with any of that anger towards somebody else. But if we really look at it, are we being real with ourselves? Like, this is an area where we don't want to rebel in. This is an area where God moves completely through us and does amazing things through us as well. So we're going to look at the Bible today, and we're going to look at a lot of Bible scriptures because the Bible has a ton to say about forgiveness. The Bible has a ton to say about forgiveness. We're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. And again, today, if you're taking notes, make sure you write these scriptures down. Maybe you can go back and look at them again. I'm going to throw a bunch of Bible out to you, but I want to make sure that you're reading your Bible every single day. There's incredible truths. There's incredible practices in there that we can apply to our life, whether we believe in the Bible or whether we don't believe in the Bible at all. There's still truths that we can apply to our life that will change who we are and make us better every single day. If you look at this, though, in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 11, it says this: "If you forgive someone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if I had anything to forgive, I forgave it for you, as if Christ were with me. I did this so that Satan would not win anything from us, because we know very well what Satan's plans are. Here's Paul, and he's talking to the church in Corinth. And he's telling them to forgive, just as Christ forgave as well. Because if we don't, what we're doing is we're putting a foothold in our life. We're allowing Satan in the area of our life to grab hold of us, to have his plans work in our life instead of God's plans work in our life. And Satan's plans is this, is to seek, kill, and destroy everything that God has for us. God has a perfect plan for each and every one of us, but Satan wants to seek, kill, and destroy that plan. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and the book of Ecclesiastes says that. So really, if you look at Satan, he's not doing anything new. He's not coming up with some perfect scheme that we've never seen before, but he's using the same old stuff over and over again. And he's pretty common in his approach. And what he's doing, though, is he's trying to get us in an area of unforgiveness, in an area of resentment. He's trying to outwit us. But here's Paul. He's talking to us in the church of Corinth, and he's saying, don't let Satan outwit you. And I think if you look at the people who have made an impact for God in their lives, they get this. They understand this. They know that they need to not let Satan have a foothold or any area of their life where he can outwit them. I heard this story about Mother Teresa. It was towards her later years of life. She was actually in the United States, and she was in Arizona, and she was doing an interview on the radio. It's a nationwide interview, it's a live interview. And meanwhile, she's doing this interview, she's building this new orphanage, she's building this new home for these needy people, right? So she probably has a ton of needs trying to build these buildings up and everything else too. But she got asked on air, what do you need from people? What do you need from us? Her answer was crazy. Because you think her answer would be like, well, man, you can give money, here's a place you can donate online, whatever, blah, 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 right? Or you can sign up to serve and come over and help build this orphanage here. You think she would do that? Or, hey, here's a place where you can send resources. You think she would do all these different things, but she said this. She said, go home and forgive people that have hurt you and love those who no one else loves. And I think Mother Teresa, she understood this concept of not letting Satan outwit us. I think she understood what Jesus said in Matthew 25:40. Where he says, I tell you the truth, anything you did for even the least of my people here, you also did for me. I think a lot of times, the people that we are mad at, the people that we might hold unforgiveness to, the people that we have this resentment towards, those are probably the least of these, right? Those are the people who are the most hard to love. They're almost the unlovable. The people that we haven't fully forgiven, those are the people who are the least of these. So I think when we kick them out of our life, when we hold that unforgiveness, when we hold that anger towards them, what are we really doing? Is we're hindering our own relationship with God. Because I believe forgiveness is actually a spiritual law. I think there's these things called physical laws, and I think there's these things called spiritual laws. And if you go against the law, if you choose to ignore them, chances are it's not going to go well with you. For instance, a physical law. The physical law would be something like gravity, right? We all experience gravity every single day. As we get older, we see the effects of gravity. Things just aren't the same anymore, right? But when we look at gravity, if we think that we're going to break the laws of gravity, we're completely wrong. Like, if I were going to go up on the roof, right, and then just jump and say, you know what? I'm not going to fall. I'm going to float down to the ground. I might even fly a little bit. Chances are, I'm going to fall. I'm probably going to break something. I'm probably going to wear a cast for a while. Now, I did not jump off a roof. I fell off a bicycle like an 8-year-old boy, but that's just the way it is, right? That's a law. That's a physical law. And if you violate that, chances are things will not go well for you. The same thing with spiritual laws as well. If you violate a spiritual law, things will not go well with you. This is why I'm talking about forgiveness today. I believe forgiveness is a spiritual law. We hold on to grudges. If we hold on to unforgiveness, I believe this. The result is that we are hurting ourselves, we're not impacting others, and we're separating ourselves from God. If God's called us to make an impact, to build his church, I think he wants us to impact others. But if we're not forgiving others, it keeps us from being to impact him. It really keeps us separated from God. So here's what I want you to get out of today. If you're not paying attention, pay attention real quick. I got one main point. I want you to pay attention to this. God may never be more revealed in your life than when you forgive somebody who you think is not worthy of forgiveness. God may never be more revealed in your life than when you forgive somebody who you think is not worthy of forgiveness. That's a tough statement to say, and it's a tough statement to hear, too, because you might be hearing you're thinking of some type of abuse, right? You may be thinking of some type of physical abuse. You may be thinking of some type of a sexual abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, and you're thinking like, man, how can I forgive that person for what they did? How can I forgive them for what they've done to me and how many times they did it? If that's you, please don't shut me out. I believe that there's some truth to this that you can apply to your life that will change your life. And I think you're really going to want this because I believe that God has called us to real forgiveness no matter what the event is. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about that. But I think you'll walk away with knowing that, man, God's called us to forgiveness. And I want you to walk away with knowing what forgiveness is. Because I believe that we will never sense the presence of God more than when we decide to forgive someone. And again, if you look at the heroes of the Bible, if you look at these figures in the Bible, man, I think they understood this. If you look through the stories of the Bible, I mean, honestly, the stories of the Bible, the people were a complete mess. There's things that happen to them time and time again, and you wonder how God even used them. You wonder why they even wanted to be used by God. Again, next week, we actually are starting a new series, too. I will just do a quick plug for that, called The Bible Stories, The Bible Failures. I think it's going to be an incredible series. Make sure you come, bring a friend. But we're going to look at some of those stories about that. But oftentimes, I think you see these heroes in the Bible, and man, things happen to them, but God still used them. But it's all based on their decision to forgive. I mean, if you look at Jesus, Jesus was the ultimate example of this. I mean, if we're going to be around for a while, we got to remember that things are not going to go well. And if you look at Jesus, things did not go well for him. There's this day called Good Friday. It was not a good day for Jesus. Let me just tell you. It was a day where he suffered pain. It was a day where he died on a cross, where he was crucified and tortured. It did not go well for him. And when he was on that cross, though, when he was at his lowest moment, I think he gave us a lesson that we all need to take, a lesson that we all need to apply, because he said this at the moment right before his death, as the moment of just complete pain and complete agony, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. It says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. You hear that and you're like thinking, what? Wait a second. If you look at the story, then you really think like, what is going on, right? Forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Wait a second. These are the same people who just ordered the death of Jesus. These are the people who were mocking him, spitting on him, just yelling all these things to him, right? These are the people that were doing that the whole time. And Jesus is saying they don't know what they're doing. Like clearly, if you're mocking somebody, you probably know what you're doing. But here's Jesus. He knew the greater picture. And then he says, Father, forgive them. Now, this was not normal. This obviously isn't normal in today's society as well. It's not normal back then as well. Just so you know, it wasn't something like where people get crucified and everybody just says, forgive them. Oh, forgive them what they're doing, you know? This wasn't normal. In fact, during the time when Jesus was crucified, a lot of people would actually have their tongues cut out. Again, crucifixion was a very common practice in that time. It would be a penalty for many different things that people would do. Even if you look at Jesus, they had two thieves on the cross next to him. So even for stealing something, people would get crucified. But oftentimes, people would yell these words, these obscenities, these curse words. They would curse out their family. They would curse out their friends. They'd cuss out everybody, right? So instead of letting them do that, the Roman Empire, the Roman guards would often cut their tongue off. Now, obviously, they didn't cut Jesus' tongue off. And then you see him say this. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And again, we see a recap of this in 1 Peter 2:23. It says, people insulted Christ, but he did not insult them in return. Christ suffered, but he did not threaten. He let God, the one who judges rightly, take care of them. So here's Jesus on a cross with the power of God. He could have said at any time, man, God, this is ridiculous. Strike him down. Let's finish this. I don't want to go through this, right? But instead he says, forgive them. And Peter has this, he kind of looks at this and he says, this is what happened. He saw Jesus live out forgiveness with his own eyes. He also had multiple conversations with Jesus talking about forgiveness as well. And we see that in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. We're going to go through this story as well. But we see Peter asking Jesus about forgiveness. So this is earlier in Jesus' life. Peter obviously sees Jesus or Peter sees Jesus actually act out forgiveness, but he actually has a conversation with him as well. And in Peter 18 through 21 and 22, it says this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, when my fellow believer sins against me, how many times must I forgive him? Should I forgive him as many as 7 times? And then Jesus answered, I tell you, you must forgive him more than 7 times. You must forgive him, even if he wrongs you, 70 times 7. So when we read that, you're thinking 70 times 7. Now let me just clarify. Jesus is not saying that 70 times 7. He's not saying that to test your math skills. He's not wanting you to get out a calculator and find out 490. It's perfect. 490 times I forgive somebody the number 491. Boom, it's grudge time. I'm bringing out the hammer. I'm just going to retaliate with everything I got on number 491, right? That's not what Jesus is saying. He was saying that to make a point. Because at that time, in Jewish law, a lot of the rabbis who were the teachers at that time, they would state that you would have to forgive somebody 3 times. So it was common knowledge that you would have to forgive somebody 3 times. This is what many of the teachers and the rabbis were teaching at that time. So Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive somebody? He figures he's got it made, right? He's thinking, dude, this is a good answer. I'm going to say 7. I'm going to double that number of 3. I'm going to add 1. I'm going to say 7. And clearly, like, Jesus is going to be proud of me. He's going to be like, man, that's an extreme number. Peter, you're right. You should definitely forgive 7 times, right? If you look at the number 7, you're thinking, why is that important? Just some studies show that 7 actually is a number of completion. So here's Peter. He probably knew that. He's probably thinking, man, I'm going to show off a little bit. Took 7 days to create for a creation. There's the 7 I ams. There's 7 churches as well. So throughout the Bible, the number 7 kind of shows this number of completion. So here's Peter thinking, man, I'll forgive to completion and I'll throw this number out to Jesus, say 7. That way he thinks I'm a scholar. He thinks I'm a brilliant person. He'll be so proud of me, right? But Jesus responds by saying 70 times 7. I think one thing Jesus is telling Peter is this. If you're worried about the number, you're probably not truly forgiving. If you're worried about how many times you need to forgive somebody, you're probably not completely forgiving them. And then 70 times 7, if we take that number, the symbolic look at it right there, 7 is completion, but 70 times 7, it's continual, right? We need to forgive completely and continually. Real forgiveness works completely and continually. I think sometimes we think that we've forgiven somebody, but then that resentment, it keeps coming back up. That grudge we seem to keep holding on to, that unforgiveness keeps coming back to the surface. So we need to continue to forgive. We need to forgive completely and continue. And if you look at how you've forgiven somebody, I can tell you how there's some ways you probably know that you haven't forgiven somebody. I think one way to recognize it is if you see that person that maybe did something to you and you see that they're having a bad day or you see that they're having a bad month or something's going wrong with them and all of a sudden that just kind of makes you happy. Chances are you probably haven't forgiven them. That's probably a checkpoint. Like, God's probably saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? I don't know if he talks that way, but I think he talks that way to me sometimes. But I think Jesus, he's telling you, man, if you're counting how many times you're forgiving somebody, then obviously you probably haven't forgiven them yet. So he explains this through a parable and continues on his story. So Jesus continues on in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, and he uses this parable. And again, a parable is just a story used to illustrate a point. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who decided to collect the money his servants owed him. When the king began to collect his money, a servant who owed him several millions of dollars was brought to him. Now, just so we know, several million dollars, it's a lot of money. We talked about being real on our finances through this series, and if you got real with your finances and you realize that several million dollars is not a lot of money to you, I would love to go to lunch with you. I would say that you're going to treat me to lunch, but if that's the case, that's where we're at, right? So several million dollars is a lot of money, and having several million dollars of debt is not going to be the greatest feeling. So in verse 25, it continues, it says, but the servant did not have enough money to pay his master, the king. So the master ordered that everything the servant owned should be sold, even the servant's wife and children. Then the money would be used to pay the king what the servant owed. All right, just so we know, during these times, there was no such thing as bailouts, right? There's no such thing as bankruptcies. There's no foreclosures. There's no short sales. There's nothing like that. If you owed a debt and you couldn't pay it, They would throw you into prison. They would sell every single thing you owned. They would sell you into slavery as well, and they would sell your family into slavery as well. If you owed a debt, things were not going to go well with you. So here's this guy who owes millions of dollars, pretty much down and out, just at his last thing, thinking, man, what am I going to do? And he does exactly what many of us do in the same situation. He does exactly what many of us do in our situation with Jesus, right? Where we have these sins that we can't fix. We have these sins that we can't do anything about. We beg. We begin to beg. This is what he does. In verse 26, it says, but the servant fell on his knees and begged. It says, be patient with me. I will pay you everything I owe. And then in verse 27 is where it gets crazy. The master felt sorry for his servant and told him that he did not have to pay it back. Then he let the servant go free. Think about how crazy this story is, right? The master cancels the debt. He doesn't set up a payment plan. He doesn't push back the due date. He doesn't reduce the balance, but he cancels the debt completely. He cancels millions of dollars of debt. This is what happens to us when we confess that Jesus is our Savior. When we realize and we accept the fact that Jesus died on a cross for our sins. When we accept that so that we can have a relationship with God, He cancels the debt completely. So if we look at it, this is the number one reason. If we're not going to forgive for anything else, this is the reason we need to forgive. We forgive because we are forgiven by God. It's the reason we forgive. We forgive because we are forgiven by God. Think about it. If you were forgiven millions of dollars of debt, think how you would feel. I mean, we should be pumped. We should be excited. We should be all jacked up, ready to roll, right? This should be how we are. And honestly, this is what Jesus did for us. So this is how we should feel every day. We should be so excited for the fact that Jesus died on a cross for us. But I think too many times we don't forgive others because we fall into the same trap that this servant did later. If you look at this story in Matthew 18, it continues in verse 28. It says, later that same servant found another servant who owed him a few dollars. The servant grabbed him around the neck and said, pay me the money you owe me. Like, wait a second, man. Here's this guy who had just been, he's just been forgiven millions of dollars of debts, and he sees a guy that owes him a couple bucks, and he's going to go choke him? Just so you know why he chokes him too, Roman law said that if somebody owes you money, you could choke them out. Like, think if that applied to us today, right? Like, if somebody owes me a couple bucks, I'm just going to go choke them, right? Every time we go pay our car payment. Okay, stand there. I'm going to choke you out for a little bit, right? Sometimes that's how it feels, I think, too, but it's crazy. This guy's freed, forgiven a million dollars of debt, and then he goes, and there's a guy who owes him a couple bucks, and he chokes him out. Verse 29 continues, it says, the other servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything I owe. Wait a second. That kind of sounds familiar, right? Didn't the other guy just say that? But his response was this. But the first servant refused to be patient. He threw the other servant into prison until he could pay everything he owed. This sounds messed up. We're thinking, man, this servant is such an idiot, right? Like, it doesn't add up. What are you thinking, right? I think sometimes we do this in our own life too, because I think we forget all the things that we are forgiven for. And this is what happens. You look at this guy, maybe he didn't feel completely forgiven, right? Maybe he forgot. Maybe he had this quick memory loss and forgot that all of a sudden, I owed $1 million. Oops, I forgot. I'll go get a couple bucks from this guy, right? I think this is kind of how we act sometimes. Or maybe he didn't fully accept the forgiveness. Maybe he thought that king, that master was going to come back to him and say, you know what, you still owe me millions of dollars. I didn't really forgive you. But the master really did. This is what happens to us when we feel like we aren't forgiven. This is what happens to us when we forget that we've been forgiven or when we haven't accepted that forgiveness. We often become bitter. We end up keeping score. And we keep track of how many people have wronged us and how they wronged us. And when we do that, we lose our innocence. When we hold on to those things in our life that God's forgiven us from, when we aren't forgiving ourselves, when we haven't fully accepted those things that God has already forgiven us from, it keeps us from forgiving others. I think it's pretty clear that God wants us to forgive. I think he even calls us to forgive. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and loving to each other and forgive each other just as God forgave you in Christ. There's a couple things in this verse. It says, be kind and compassionate. But that has to come along with forgiving as well. They have to balance each other out. We can be kind and we can be compassionate, but it doesn't mean anything if we're not forgiving others, right? They have to work together. Because the truth is this, resentment doesn't work. Resentment doesn't work. So if we're going to be real with forgiveness, let me just ask you a couple questions. If you're holding on to resentment, think about it. How's that working out for you? That grudge that you won't let go of. How's that going? That bitterness towards that person that hurt you. Man, are you really getting them back? Or are you just hurting yourself? Are you just giving yourself an ulcer? Are you just giving yourself anxiety? Are you just giving yourself panic attacks? How's that resentment working out for you? If you go back to this story, in Matthew 18, 31, it says, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were very sorry. So they went and told their master all that had happened. Then the master was called his servant in and said, you evil servant, because you begged me to forget what you owed, I told you that you did not have to pay anything. You should have showed mercy to the other servant, just as I showed mercy to you. The master was very angry and put the servant in prison to be punished until he could pay everything he owed. Here's this servant. And the unforgiveness is what angered the master, right? The unforgiveness angered the master more than the debt, more than the $1 million of debt, right? So he threw him into jail. Here's what I think Jesus is saying. I think he's saying that this unforgiveness, this grudge that we may hold, this bitterness that we have, it's like being in prison. It holds us captive. It's a form of torture on our spirits. It's a form of torture on our emotions. It's a form of torture on even us. Unforgiveness and this resentment is like hell on earth, and it will destroy us. In Job 5:2, it says, resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple. Resentment kills a fool. Resentment doesn't work. The truth is this, though. If you were in church, or if you've been in church for years, chances are somebody's probably hurt you. And if you're going to be in church for a long time, chances are somebody probably will hurt you. And to flip that on the other side, there's probably somebody that you've hurt as well. There's probably somebody that needs to hear this because of you. And I think this is why Jesus, this is why he taught on this subject. This is why there's so much in the Bible about forgiveness. Because the truth is, hurt people, and in turn become more hurt. Broken people break people, and in turn become more broken. But saved people save people. Forgiven people, forgive people, and in turn become more forgiven. Mark 11:25 says, when you are praying, if you are angry with someone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins. Again, forgiveness, it's spiritual law. So if I ask, how many of you need forgiveness in your life? This is how we do it. This is how to get more. Because forgiveness given is forgiveness received. Do you need forgiveness today? Maybe the better question is this. Do you need to give forgiveness today? Do you need to forgive someone today? Matthew chapter 6, 14 through 15 says this. It says, yes, if you forgive others for their sins, your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins. But if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. I love forgiveness, and it may sound weird. You may think I just have to say that because I'm talking about that. Like, dude, this is your sermon topic, so obviously you're going to say that you love forgiveness, right? It may sound a little weird, but I love forgiveness. I love what it does. Just a little bit of my story. I'll be a little bit transparent with you if that's all right. But for me, forgiveness, it really set me free. Like, it's really the reason why we are able to even plant Life Change Church. I mean, there was a time in my life where something happened. It was a spiritual leader in my life. There was a leader in my life who I felt completely betrayed by. And there was so much pain, like so much anger. And I ended up leaving the ministry because of this. I was a youth pastor. I felt completely betrayed by this person. But there was lies going around, like just so much hurt, so much just anger towards this person as well. So I stopped doing what I felt God had really called me to do. I didn't leave because I felt God told me to leave. I left because of resentment. I left because of anger. I left because of this unforgiveness. I stopped doing what I even went to college to do. And I went through this month period where, I mean, it was a very, very dark month. Like, I made the stupidest, unwise choices. I rebelled, basically removed myself from the will of God, did some crazy things that I'm not proud of. I never really renounced my faith, but I did not live for God during that time, and I was not in the will of God during that time as well. The resentment was, it was bad. Like, I had some messed up thoughts going through my head, like thoughts that I can't even share up here. Just go there, and you just figure out what the thoughts were. And this went on for a while, but luckily I had some friends in my life who gave me this book called The Bait of Satan. And I read it, and I'll tell you, I mean, it stopped that dark period of my life for a month. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't forgive right away. There's still a series. There's still about a year, 2 years, 3 years. There's a process of forgiving. But my decision to forgive changed my life. That decision, it took me out of that dark place where Satan had a hold of me and took me into a different area of my life where, man, I felt God's presence again. And I felt like I was in his will again. And his will even kind of changed. And I could see God moving and doing things. I could see that he took me even through this area where I felt so much hurt, where I felt so much pain. He took me through that so I could get to another point. I went through this month and I read that book and I decided to forgive. And I jumped on with another church plant in Pickerington. And I saw the inner workings of this whole church plant and realized, like, didn't know what God was doing, but he was using me in that season to see something else to get us ready for where we are today. And I would have never been there if I never chose to forgive. I think, honestly, forgiveness, I love it because it leads you back to God's perfect plan for you, wherever that is. And you may hear that story and you're thinking, like, that's crazy, right? You probably hear that story. You may even say that's BS, right? BS is before Sarah, just to let you know. That's my wife. So it was BS as well. It was before Sarah. And I think, honestly, that God was working in my heart to be prepared to even marry my wife so that I could be a better husband, so I could be a better father. Because if you know anything about marriage, you have to act in forgiveness almost every single day. In any relationship, you have to act in forgiveness every single day. I think we're called to be real through forgiveness. Sam, if you want to, you can come up. But let's talk about forgiveness real fast. I think a lot of reasons why people don't forgive, I think a lot of people, reasons why we hold on to a grudge is because we have these misconceptions of what forgiveness is. So let me share a couple things what forgiveness is not. Pay attention to these because I believe this is some impactful stuff. But forgiveness is this. It's not reducing the devastation of the event. Forgiveness is not reducing the devastation of the event. It's not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It's not going around saying, you know, it's not a big thing. It's not a big deal, right? Because whatever tragedy, whatever wrong, whatever pain, whatever you've experienced in life, let me just tell you, it's legit. Forgiveness is not reducing the devastation of the event. And the other thing too, forgiveness is not trust. Forgiveness is not trust. Just because we forgive doesn't mean that we allow somebody back into the same area in our lives with the same power that they had before. Forgiveness is not trust. In fact, trust may never even be regained by the person who hurt you. But what's crazy is that forgiveness can be given instantly. I think we need to understand that this has the power to change our lives if we understand what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not reducing the devastation of the event. And forgiveness is not trust. When we understand that, I think we can apply forgiveness. I think we can act upon it. And how do we forgive others? This is how we do it. I think we acknowledge our own imperfections. The first step into forgiving others is acknowledging our own imperfections. Pride is often one of the worst things that can hold on to us, that can keep us where Satan exactly wants us. Because when we're prideful, we don't acknowledge our own imperfections. We don't understand our wrongdoings and realize that, you know what? I'm not perfect, neither are they, so I need to extend grace. I need to be like Jesus. I need to extend the grace that Jesus extends as well. Number two, is we need to abandon my right to get even. When somebody does something to us, I think we feel like we have a right. We feel like, oh, you know what? It's on me. I'm going to get even. I'm going to make this right. But I read somewhere that says God doesn't share. There's only two things that God doesn't share with us. Number one is his glory. And number two is his vengeance. It's not ours. We need to abandon our right to get even because it's not ours. And number three, is apply God's grace to my life and to my future. Apply God's grace to my life and to my future. The truth is, I think our faith can only get us so far. And then we have to walk in God's grace the rest of the way. And we obtain God's grace by being in His presence. And we experience His presence through forgiveness. So I'm up here, I'm not telling you to go back and act like whatever happened never happened. I'm just saying to forgive. Man, you might be up here thinking like, man, you don't know what happened. You don't know how many times it happened. You're right, I don't. I'm not saying to go back and act like it never happened. I'm not saying to go back and trust, but I'm saying to forgive. It's a spiritual law. There's no way around it. And forgiveness, it's a great way to live. I think God showed us the greatest example of forgiveness through His Son, Jesus. God created us to have a relationship with Him. And we messed that up. We mess it up big every day. But God gave His Son so that we can have a relationship with Him. So as I close, I always want to end by giving an opportunity for someone to start a relationship with God. So maybe you're here today and you just, you know, maybe feel like you're just not close to God. And you need to accept that forgiveness. You need to really accept it. And in turn, it's going to change you. So what I want to do is I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I just want you to raise your hand. If that's you, you want to make a decision to follow Jesus today. Maybe you followed Jesus before in the past, but you've walked away and you want to make a new decision and start that relationship again. Or maybe you've never had a relationship with God, but you're thinking, oh my goodness, God, You sent Your Son. I completely understand what forgiveness is. Thank You. I want to start that relationship with You. If that's you, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I just want you to raise your hand. One, with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed. Two, God is asking you to start a relationship with Him today. Three, raise your hand. See you. Cool. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me, to forgive me so that I can forgive others and have a relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.